Let me bang you.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, man.
I let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. I'm here with Greg Romero Wilson. We got McCorkle coming. We got Don Fry coming. Why are you laughing? What's going on?
Nothing. I know. I love it. I don't know why that made me laugh. Like a brand new MMA road. Like, no, it's exciting. It's fun. I'm wearing a new hat. I'm excited to be here. It's always nice to be on a brand new MMA Roasted. It's a fun show to be a part of, and I love it, man. That's all.
Well, I love you, man. And it's been a crazy week. So the fights, we got to talk about the fights, obviously. We got to talk about all kinds of stuff. I actually found the guy that is the insurance salesman. I actually found his intro.
Oh, yes, the insurance salesman. Yes.
So we have
what league, what league was he fighting in? Which
in the
was
LFA. Like, in the
LFA. Okay, yeah, LFA. Yeah.
He's only got 25 followers on Twitter. So
wait, what does LFA stand for? Like Legitimate Fighters Legacy, Association?
Okay. Legacy Fighting Alliance.
Alliance, sure. The Alliance, sure.
So I did this show on Saturday, right? So I had a show Saturday, and it was like a private show. Jay Davis hooked me up with it. It was at this like beautiful golf course. They're like, hey, my friend Rick's a fan of yours. He's turning 50. He wants to get roasted. They want you to roast him and then do your act at this thing. I'm like, okay, yeah, no problem. Pays good money, yada yada. So the wife, anytime you ask someone to roast you, someone, and the wife gets you like, oh, here's some dirt on Rick. It's never dirt. It's never, there's nothing ever funny.
Right.
So she's like, oh, he likes to collect baseball cards. And, you know, and he gained 100 pounds since marriage, but he's lost 90 of it, right? So I'm like, all right, we'll go with he gained 100 pounds. So I'm like, you know, Rick's a big collector. Right now he's collecting calories, you know. You know, at one point he got so fat he could titty fuck himself. Like, I just can't.
Nice.
Like,
good.
Like, just shitting on how fat he got. You know, basically he wanted to have a baby, so he started eating for three. You know, just kept going, right? So, and it's like, and it's, I know this is during the fights. So I'm actually, you know, I'm watching the fights.
Oh my God.
I'm watching the fights on my phone, and then I'm going to the thing. But my mind is like, you know, four different directions, right? So Sean, just McCorkle, can you hear me? So Sean just joined us. Slim McCorkle, you could tell he's the weight is coming off, which is I'm starting to get the jawline back, the McCorkle jawline, and he can't figure out the sound. So
there he is. Wait, there it is. McCorkle's back.
What's going on? So I was telling Greg. So I got booked Saturday night at this private gig, at this beautiful country club, to roast this guy. You know, it turned out he gained 100 pounds. So I was like, the wife gave me some info on him. And I'm like, Rick, he got so fat he could titty fuck himself. At like one point, he likes to collect things, mostly calories, just shitting on him like anyway, right? And it's going well. So then there's one lady in the corner, a couple with glasses. So I'm like, oh, where'd you guys meet? Lens Crafters? The older woman goes, fuck you, right? So she gives me the middle finger. This always happens when people don't know there's a comedy show. Like, anytime there's a room of people that think they're there for one thing and a comedy show breaks out. So, and then I'm like, okay.
What did they think they were there for when you were terrorizing the guy about his weight? It was like an intervention? Like, what?
Yeah, so then I start moving on, right? So then Rick goes, oh, that's my friend. Some guy has a hat with like a hot blonde, like an older blonde. I called them like the Real Housewives of OxyContin, right? There was like some older, like 50-year-old women, a lot of surgery done, but, you know, attractive. So and then Rick goes, oh, that's his ex-wife, right? So the guy's sitting with his ex-wife and now his new girlfriend, right? And so I was like, I started going making fun of her. So I go, oh, to the hot blonde. I go, when's her hour up? She gets up. She goes, "You're fucking disrespectful." Meanwhile, everyone else is dying laughing. Like, I'm fucking crushing. Yeah. People are applause break. She goes, "Give me the microphone," right? She marches fucking to me, but there's no stage or anything. And Rick's next to me. And she goes to grab the microphone. I know I have it behind my back now. Like, I'm playing keep away with the microphone, right? And she's like, "You're fucking," and she's from Russia. So she's like, "You're fucking disrespectful," right? And then Rick, the guy, goes, "This is my party. Sit the fuck down. I hired him. Get the fuck out of here," right? And now, the whole crowd starts chanting, "Be a good sport. Be a good sport." Yeah.
If it's one thing the Russians are known for, it's being a good sport.
Right, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, they never cheat. They never run clinical trials. You know, have the clinic that's doping, measuring them with holes in the walls so they can put in fake test results. No, they're straight up and down good sports.
So she storms out. She storms out of the room, right? And then I go to the ex-wife, and I'm like, "Oh man, well, hey, looks like you got the better deal because he's got to deal with her." He leaves too. Everyone's fucking clapping. I'm like, "This is why you shouldn't do cocaine." I tried to rebound it. Then at the end, like, I had to get escorted out like the back door because I was surrounded by the one woman who gave me the finger. Like, this woman, Jay's crying. The booker's crying, laughing. Like, he's like,
"Yeah."
Then people are like, "That was the best show ever. Oh, high five. I never laughed." But I'm like, I didn't mean for someone to, you know, try to take the microphone away. So then. So then I'm driving home watching the rest of the fights, but I got my wife's mom with my wife, with my kid, watching her. So I like knew that she was still up because she took a nap in the afternoon. So I had to watch. I pulled into the driveway. I had to watch the fights in my car because I knew as soon as I went in the house, "Daddy's home." Like, there was zero chance of me finishing that. So that was my weekend. How are you, Greg?
I was great, man. I was in Vegas last week, and so they have this new comedy club at the Oya, which used to be the Hooters casino. Okay, so it's sandwiched between the Laugh Factory at the Tropicana and the Brad Garrett's at the MGM Grand. So it's like you're the ugly girl between the two hot girls, essentially. And, you know, we're like, "Hey, I'll give you a free drink, you know," like, "I'll suck your dick if you want to fucking," "They won't swallow, I'll fucking swallow." Like, it's so bad. And then, you know, I mean, nobody stays there to stay there. You know what I mean? You stay there because I felt like it was a lot of foreigners because. Like the first, like getting on the elevator, and the first couple is that I hear, I swear I hear like a German accent, right? So then we get onto the elevator together, and I press my floor, and the guy just looks at me and goes, "Seven!" And I was like, and he's like, "Seven!" And I'm like, "Okay, seven, fucking seven. All right, I don't fucking work here, dude. I do work here, but not in this capacity." So I press the seven on the floor for him, and then, "Hey, look at this, the man, Don Pry is here." And then, "What's up, buddy?" And then there were some.
Trying to figure this damn phone out. Can't get it to work.
Well, that's different.
I was going to say standard gun fry. So then there were some Swedish people there. And so, of course, I got up on stage and I did my my girl with the dragon tattoo sexual assault and Swedish fucking joke. It's just. I'm going to post the clip later. You guys check it out on my Instagram at Greg Romero Wilson because it's so fucking ridiculous. Because it's just the funniest language ever. And even when they try and be serious, it's still all a it's just no matter how dark or weird the subject matter is, they just make it hilarious inadvertently. So that was me. So you know what, though? I powered through those shows. I got to work on my tan. I had a nice week. I took mushrooms a couple of times just to make myself feel better. You know, I really was. And one day I was like, "Fuck it." And I just fucking ate a bunch of mushrooms.
And you went on stage while on mushrooms?
No. I was coming down by then. So I felt pretty good. I that was the one thing. I didn't want to fuck with the shows. I wanted to still have good shows. So.
Yeah,
I just would take mushrooms and walk around the strip. So it was fun. I made the most of it. I had a good time.
Now, Don, I know we only have you for 20 minutes, so I want to get to you. We saw you. I saw a picture on Instagram. You were at the fights.
Yeah, I got lucky. I went to the fights. I was in in New Jersey for an 80s wrestling con, wrestling convention, and they set it up to where there's going to be myself, Frank Shamrock, and Enzo Gracie, but the guy who originally got us put together fell out, and so they still wanted me. I don't know about the other two, if they talked to them or not, but, you know. But I went and had a good time, saw some you know, old wrestlers that, you know, I was fans of. Saw Dory Funk Jr., you know. And then, shit.
Now, I saw you on the floor of the fight still. You were on the floor seats.
Yeah. They actually gave me real seats, yeah.
What's up, people? Support for MMA Roasted is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Their products are precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, which are very important, especially to our people watching. Well, to everybody, really. But Manscaped's performance package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 8 million people worldwide, okay, who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you, which is 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code MMAROASTED at manscaped.com. My math is correct. That's about 16 million balls. That's a lot of balls, people. Lots and lots of balls, okay? Listen, I've been using the Performance Package 4.0. It's a game changer, okay? I remember before I used to use scissors or I would use a razor. I've cut my balls, and that is not fun, okay? I've scraped them. People thought I had STDs. I just had all kinds of just terrible things, all right? Just horrible stuff on my nuts, okay? And thanks to Manscaped, it's all taken care of, okay? First off, the Lawnmower 4.0, the trimmer is the future of grooming, and dare I say, the greatest ball trimmer ever. I tried lots of ball trimmers, okay? I plucked them out. Hasn't been good, okay? But this trimmer is waterproof, and you can say goodbye to the mess in the bathroom floor, okay? My wife comes in, she's hair everywhere. She's like, what's going on? It looked like somebody ran over a Furby or something, okay? Listen, Manscaped is the way to go, okay? Time to take care of yourself. Go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code MMAROASTED, okay? That's 20% off. Free shipping. Use the code MMAROASTED at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code MMAROASTED. Unlock your confidence, okay? Let your balls out, okay? You take home a girl for the first night, or your wife or a guy, whatever you're into, they could be like, wow, this person takes care of you. You don't want stinky nuts, all right? You don't want women to pass out and just have all kind of funk down there. Not good. Okay. I used to look like Ben Askren down there. Girls would be like, is that Askren? Because it would just be lots of hair everywhere. Yeah. It was like Chase Hooper down on my nutsack. Not good. Okay. Unlock your confidence. Always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Check it out. Now, okay, let's talk about the fight, because the main event. I don't even know who won. I still don't know who won that fight, because when I watched it, I thought that I gave definitely Henry round two and round five. Round one, I gave to Aljamain. And three and four, I thought were close. I mean, very, very close. I think that Henry Cejudo, looking back, he had that guy in the front headlock so many times. And look, I'm no jiu-jitsu expert, but there had to have been a choke there, a front choke, or a guillotine, or a circle the back, or grab the back. It just seemed like he was so willing to let him up and go back on the feet, but he wasn't winning really the striking or dominating. And one judge gave Aljamain round five, which was fucking insane. That was the one clear round.
Right.
What did you think, Don?
About what you think. I think Henry shit the bed. You know, he needs to get new trainers and a new team, obviously, because that wasn't the case of the fighter. It was a case of having nothing but yes men surround you, you know?
Oh, interesting.
And, you know, they didn't push him, obviously. They didn't push him, make him work his ass off. you know, to be the world champion. I mean, it happened before, but they all got comfortable. You know, hey, you're great, you're great, you're great. You know, you don't have to do this. You don't have to, no, you got to fucking learn every time, you know, especially when you've lost the last time and you're trying to come through. You know, you got to change the game, man.
So what do you think?
I've never understood. Henry looked a little tired to me, but I'm always amazed at these guys, man, that aren't tired during the fight, but then they don't swing or punch or kick or do anything. I'm like, what are you in there for? Like, if you're not tired, like, they just circle. I'm like, dude, if anytime I was fighting, while I wasn't tired, I was fighting. You know, if I was trying to rest, it's one thing, but you see these guys aren't even breathing heavy and they're not doing anything. And I'm like, why are you just standing there? Like, if you know, like, activity alone sometimes, and when you're around, even if you're not landing anything significant, just being aggressive. But I thought Henry chased him a lot, but then didn't finish it with anything once he caught him. You know, once he caught up to him, and he back off, and it just unless he was tired, I didn't understand. I thought he won still, barely, but I don't understand why he wasn't more aggressive if he wasn't tired. I don't understand.
Greg?
Well, hell, I mean, Aljamain was actually competing with him in wrestling. How the fuck does that happen?
Well, he did have about 20 pounds on him. He looked a lot bigger.
A lot bigger. That reach did mean something when it came to using the hands. I mean, for me, I think it came down to a couple things. Number one, I was saying you don't just walk right back in after 3 years into a championship match. He should have had a different fight first to warm up, because what was clear was that what he's been working on and coaching mostly has been his wrestling. Because when it came to using his hands, he didn't use them. And what it became a matter of whether or not you were going to judge the round on top control of controlling the guy, which he won most of the rounds in terms of controlling the guy, versus, you know, using the hands and getting some strikes on the guy, which Aljamain was the only one throwing any punches, even though it wasn't even a tremendous volume of punches. He was the only one throwing any punches. So it became a thing of like, what do you judge us on? The guy that threw some punches, or the guy that just controlled him for 2.5 minutes and didn't do anything with it? So I think
it looked like once again, Henry was worried about messing up his fucking hair, you know?
Yeah, it was one point where he did fix his hair and got punched. What's crazy was the crowd all was rooting for Henry. They, like, the crowd was like, Henry, and it was in Aljamain's backyard. But I think someone wrote on Twitter, it looks like a fifth grader fighting a high schooler.
And
it actually is pretty on the money.
Well, whatever. The point is, and the astounding thing was that the fifth grader, once he got his hands on him, would drag him to the ground and would be all over him. And you were like, look at him go. But then he wouldn't find a way to finish. And there was no ground and pound. He would just be on him, controlling him, doing nothing with it, and taking punches while he was down there. At the end of the day, he forgot to use his hands. He hadn't been in there in 3 fucking years. And you could tell the one thing he hadn't gotten back into his game was his hands, was his punching, was his striking.
I felt bad because there's a video of Henry now watching the fights with his wife, and his wife's like, you should have done this, you should have done that. I can't think of anything more annoying.
Hey, I sat behind his fucking wife, okay? And she was sitting there. Yeah, she sat there yelling, get your chin up, get your chin up. And the same, I'm yelling, put your chin down, put your fucking chin down. You know, wife, that's the best advice she's got. Leave her ass at home, man. You don't, I mean, he walks around with his chin up high. It's the dumbest thing in the world. That's how you get knocked on your ass.
His wife's very beautiful. I like Henry and his wife. I'm just saying, the last thing I would want to do with my wife is, like, if I bomb on stage,
is watch the tape with her and let her tell you what you're doing. I know what you're wrong. I was in there. Like, you know.
Here's why I didn't laugh. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, Henry is now in a fight with Conor McGregor. So I guess Conor.
Get off the couch.
Dom, we can still hear you.
Yeah, I gotta go.
All right, take care, brother.
Bye bye.
See you, Dom.
Bye bye, guys.
All right. So,
sure I have to turn off the phone.
Oh, still there. Still got fooled on.
Right. Yeah, still.
I love it. I think he just went to a local saloon.
I was going
to
say, how fitting is it there were some sort of antlers behind Don where he with it?
Totally. Like, I mean, like, just belt buckles and fucking, you know, horse saddles and shit, and fucking goddamn it, he is such the
local trading post and lost signal.
Exactly, he's so goddamn authentic. It's unreal.
It's like 12:30 on a Monday, a Tuesday right now. By the way,
yeah, you gotta go in there. You gotta go in there and trade for some feed. I gotta get some feed for the dog and the horse, and then come back, and then I gotta battle a badger. And
oh God! So we got Henry, by the way. So he's in a fight with McGregor. So right afterwards, McGregor was mocking Henry, calling him "Oh, the big mastermind," because he makes these videos of like, "Oh, please tell me your ways." And so he kind of shit all over Henry, but he said. So then Henry came back with some funny stuff. I don't know where he gets it from, Henry, but he really has funny. He really has some funny things to say to Conor. He said the only cardio McGregor's been doing these days is running from USADA. That's a good line. It seems like somebody.
I've never heard anything like it.
No one ever reminds me of someone.
Yeah, it's vaguely familiar but highly original at the same time.
And then he says. So then Henry goes to Conor, which I thought was a really good line. He seems to really be stepping it up with his comedy. He said, what did he say? He said, I have to read it.
So that's what's wrong with his fight. He's been really, really been focusing on that comedy.
He goes, hey, Conor, your grappling is so bad you can't even submit a clean urine sample. I've seen more intimidating men on a can of Bud Light.
Oh, I like that one. That's a current.
Yeah, whoever wrote that, man. I mean, obviously it was Henry, obviously, but he did a good job. I just wish that I would have looked at the. I like fucked up on the grammar. I mean, Henry fucked up on the grammar a little bit. I wish I would have read because. So basically, here's Connor's after Henry. Here's Connor's analysis of what he thinks Henry should have done. So he writes, hold on. He goes, can you guys see?
Some of the things, oh my God, you couldn't believe what I was seeing, right? So you were here like this, right? And you were doing this. I'm like, you were doing this little thing out. What the fuck? Genius, yeah? So you were doing this really well, yeah? If you'd have just done it this way, man, you know, clean shot, bro.
Man, Conor McGregor. So how much? I mean, how much blow, Greg? I mean, I've heard that you know about people doing blow and stuff before. How much blow is Conor doing? You think
enough to lose all ability to dress yourself? He looks. He looks like one of those stores on Melrose just exploded onto his body.
Oh, man. I mean, like, I've never, like, it's, first of all, I never try to kick someone when they're down. That's just not, I never fuck people when, like, they lose. Unless they lose in a way that's so ridiculous where, like, they got, like, how Bob Sapp used to lose, where he would tap to a double leg, where you're like, okay, this is getting, you know, ridiculous. But, you know, but I do understand where Conor's coming from because Henry does make these videos. But Henry's videos are very good. He actually knows what he's talking about. And, you know, fair play. I don't think they're going to fight Conor.
If it's one thing we've learned about Conor McGregor is that he just can't stand anyone else getting more attention than him. So the second, so you know, he was waiting to, he probably shot that before the fight was even over. He probably saw that in the first round and was like, I got it. I know what I want to shoot. Roll the camera. There we go. And he was just wait. I mean, he can't let anyone have the spotlight for a second without him just, don't forget I'm Conor McGregor and I'm still here. I don't fight. I do sell whiskey and I like to interject and make it all about me. I mean, that's just what he does.
So I got to ask you, by the way. So now Henry said, this is far from over, and he wants to fight Merab, which is a tough fight for him. But I think it's a better fight for him because Merab and Henry are pretty much similar size. Like, they're both, you know, like, he's not gonna have a 12-inch reach advantage on Cejudo. Both cardio machines. Henry is great at cardio. He's not taking a 3-year layoff. Merab's hungrier, younger. less damage, less mileage. But it's a good fight because I think if they do, because obviously you saw what happened with Sean O'Malley. I don't know if you saw O'Malley entered the octagon, took off his jacket. He had like a Michael Jackson red jacket, handed it by accident. He handed it to Marab by accident. Marab put it on, which was even funnier. So he's wearing it and they face off. And the crazy part is that O'Malley's taller than Aljamain. So as big as Aljamain was to Henry, O'Malley is actually towers over Aljamain, which is crazy that they may fight at 135 because that's, I mean, he must. But I think that's a good fight. I think that, look, if O'Malley lands the shots on Aljamain that Henry landed, they're going to do a lot more damage. Oh, O'Malley's got a lot of more power than Henry Cejudo. But he doesn't have to worry about wrestling at all. O'Malley is good at jiu-jitsu. People don't realize he's a very good grappler. I watched him in one of those, like, I don't know, I forgot what they were. It was like Metamoris or something when they were doing those things. And O'Malley actually held his own. He submitted somebody that was really good and then lost, I think, Hector Lombard, who had like 100 pounds on him. But I think it's a good fight. Sean, what are your thoughts?
I was interested to find out. I don't know if you guys heard this, but the minute O'Malley took off his jacket right after the fight, the Las Vegas police issued an amber alert for his upper body muscles because they were missing. Like, how in the world do you take your shirt off for a face off like that, looking like skinny fat? Like there's not an ounce of muscle on that dude to be seen anywhere. And he's wearing a jacket that you take off and stand there. Like, dude, keep your shirt on. Like, at least if you're going to, like, if you're Tupac and you're so skinny that it looks like you might have muscles, then I can see it. But like, I've never seen anybody so skinny without an ounce of muscle definition. It's crazy.
I got to be honest, keep your shirt on is the number one note I've received at most pools in Las Vegas. and here's the thing, though, and that's the thing about O'Malley. You're saying, like, he's even taller. It's like, yeah, but he's legitimately a skinny motherfucker. Like, he's one of those tall, skinny guys.
But he's got power.
When he trains up, he tones up, and he has power. But that's how, because he's a super, super skinny guy. You know, he's one of those tall, skinny dudes. Whereas, you know, I mean, the muscle that Aljo has is I mean, it's impressive. I mean, again, you do wonder how he got down to 135 and then shows up for that fight built that way, because he looked like he was fighting at least at 165. I mean, he looked huge.
But that's a pretty smart thing, because Henry's got to figure, look, Marab's not going to fight Aljo, and Marab would probably be less next in line for the title. So Marab beats O'Malley. He beats Marab. He's next in line for Aljo. That's probably the quickest way to get to the title shot again.
But it's probably the way he should have started. Again, he shouldn't have jumped right in there in a championship fight, 3-year layoff.
He almost won, though. It was a split decision.
It doesn't matter. He would have won if he had had a warm-up fight first, where he remembered to fucking get his hands involved again.
And his chin up. His chin was
I'm saying. Like, he was making all the again after he won't make these same mistakes the next time. He should have had a warm up fight. Even someone high up as Marab, I think, might have been too high. Someone a little further down the division just to come back, warm it up, get back into fight condition. You know, again, the difference between coaching and being around it for 3 years versus being in there and actively fighting is a world of difference. And I think we saw that difference, because that is a fight that if he'd been in a little bit more fight condition, you know, he absolutely would have won.
I'll tell you, though, I was laughing pretty hard when DC was like, he played a video that Henry goes, and Henry was calling him like Denzel Sterling, and he called him Algestain, and DC was like, where does he get this from? He goes, he's the most annoying guy. He goes, he's calling him Denzel Sterling, and then Aljamain goes, what does that even mean? And I'm crying laughing, because these are all the things that I told them.
And they're calling him the king of cringe.
Oh yeah, they always call that. Now
I was impressed, though. I got to say, man, I was impressed. You called that Aljamain could wrestle with Henry Cejudo, and I thought you were going to be way off on that. And he really did. He didn't out wrestle him, but he held in there with him as well as anybody ever has. Like, he was he actually took him down once, I think, or twice, and he hung in there, man.
Yeah. Now, I got to say, by the way, speaking of wrestling, I need your advice on this. So I help run this wrestling club. My friend opened this wrestling club, and but it's a lot of the kids that I coach during the year that go there. And it's good. It's all good. It's all positive. So my friend calls me and says, hey, man, there's this guy that like showed up. He used to wrestle for Indiana. He was like the captain of the team, All-American. He came, he showed some moves. This guy's amazing. Like, he's amazing. He wants to help out. But what does he do for? Oh, he does like construction work and has a business. I go, this sounds awesome. We need someone like that. How fucking great is this? He goes, I'm a little concerned though. He calls me back. If you look at his Instagram, he's in like a Speedo or so, like, a couple pictures of him. So I'm like, what's his Instagram? So I look at Instagram and he's like at the Gay Porn Awards. And he's like all kinds of stuff. Like,
but that doesn't necessarily, I mean, it's still not something you necessarily.
No, I Googled his name. He's a full on gay porn star. Like, I mean, hundreds of gay porn videos. Like,
did he win any of the awards though?
Yeah.
Or you going to hire him. You might need to know what scenes he won.
Is he a world champion gay porn actor? Because, you know, it's hard to turn down pedigree.
So I told my buddy, I'm like, listen, we have kids. You know, like, I can't.
You can't.
You got 7-year-olds, you got 9-year-olds, you got 11. I mean.
I thought it was one thing if you see him in a Speedo, you're like, okay. Even if he's a gay guy, okay. But if he's a gay porn actor.
Yeah, I think
we've definitely crossed the boundary there. I don't think you're
right. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's probably really good at top and bottom, you know, positions and, you know.
Sure, exactly. All the super gay stuff.
Why are you telling me to check his oil on every reversal? I don't understand.
Blumkins, like all the good stuff, I'm sure. Whatever. He's probably amazing at. Why is he always? How come every move ends with an oil jet? That's so brilliant.
So I told my buddy, I
go, how come we're always starting north south? Every time starting north south.
I told my buddy, I said, listen, you know, when you become a gay porn star, there are just certain jobs you can't coaching little kids wrestling is just off the list. You know, I can't in my, if I didn't know about it, it just, oh my God, it happened, you know, but they do background
checks. However, being a Catholic youth minister, still very much on the list.
The problem is the guy knows some fucking great stuff. Like, he's a great wrestler and he knows
this. He does.
I was going to say, well, he's never stopped. I mean, you know, he's kept the training going, it sounds like.
Like, he knows his stuff. Like, he's really good. Like, he can help the
top kids control. Out a lot. Do you want to say top control?
He can help the kids out a lot, for real. Like, he actually knows, but at the same time, I just can't knowing. I mean, do we check with the parents? Hey, just so you know, this guy's
don't check with the parents.
Check out some of his work and let me know what you think, if he should be
Google his name and just let me know if you'd like him grappling with your child. No. There are boundaries. That's it. So,
you know what's funny, man? You guys being out from LA, it's so different than Indiana. Like, I went and did Adam's podcast in LA one time. It was a long time ago, man, years ago. And I get there, and he's telling me who each person is. One of them was Elias Theodoro, and
I remember somebody else.
And they're like, oh, this girl, she used to be in porn. She once inserted something 29 inches into her butthole. And won this contest. Like, and I'm sitting there thinking it's a joke, and I realize he's serious, and that is her qualification, is that she put the longest dildo ever, or accepted the longest dildo ever. And I had to sit right next to her, and the whole time I just kept thinking how painful that must have been to, like, 29 inches into your butthole. Like, I can't even, like...
Dude, I watched a fucking black-on-blonde double penetration porn. Because I was, you know, because it was late and I was getting weird. Is it alone in Vegas? I'm like, oh, think of this, what this is. And I mean, oh my God. So these two giant dongs are DPing this girl. And I'm like, wow, she's really taking this thing, right? And then one of them pulls out of her butthole. And her butthole looked like she was about to just shit ground beef. And I was like, I mean, I was not masturbating to this. I was literally just grossed the fuck out. And yeah, I was like, okay, I've seen enough. Click, stop. I had to fucking go downstairs, play some blackjack for a few minutes, and come back.
I met a girl one time on set when I was doing the warm-up for the night calls. I was a warm-up comedian.
That's right.
And this girl told me she did the oldest gangbang ever. like the it was a bunch of like 80-year-olds that were online that have sex with her. And her agent told her, she goes, yeah, my agent said I can do old people or dead people. And then someone was like, I think it's time for a new agent.
Yeah. Oh, I think I saw that one. Wasn't it called 80 for Brady?
The message, old people are dead people, so we're either shooting tomorrow or next month. Guys,
it's the same cast. It's whether or not you get them now or in a month.
But you guys think I made the right call, Greg Sean, with the gay porn star, right? I can't have that.
Yes. No, come on. I mean, listen, I'm all for giving everybody judging them, but that's you can't.
Yeah. Okay.
So Greg's answer to that was, I'm all for judging, for giving. Yeah, no.
Yeah, like I try to be as open-minded as the next person. I really do. But I mean, there are certain things you can't gay porn star wrestling contact. You can't.
And
porn star, I don't think. You know, if that's what they're known for, I don't think you'd be, whether gay or straight, even as a straight guy, and he's a porn star, you can't let him wrestle with children.
And the guy was upset because the guy was saying he can get all kinds of donors. The gay guy had all kinds
sperm
of
sperm donors.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He can get all kinds of donations.
Yeah, I'd love to see those donors, a bunch of guys. Now that's your 80 bukkake. I brought the donors, guys. You know, they're lined up on the bleachers, like I'm ready.
On the back of the thing, it's like mattmen.com or like the back of the uniforms. It's like anal loop.
You know, back in the day on the underground, I don't know if you guys were ever on the underground forums with the MMA. That's where it started, on mixedmartialarts.com. They had something called mattbattle.com, and they would always trick everybody with the link, like, check out this fight, Henzo Gracie's first ever fight. It would be linked to mattbattle.com, and every time you go there, it was gay guys doing jiu-jitsu, like naked, like wrestling each other or whatever, but everyone would fall for it over and over again because it sounds like a legit, you know what I mean, like site. So I even fell for it probably like 17 or 18 times. No, not that many times, but like, yeah, I really would, like, I would click it would be the best title ever, like Mark Kerr and Mark Coleman fight backstage. I was like, did they really? And I click on it, and it's two gay guys like each other. Like, damn, it got me again, like every time. I might as well finish it.
So we have a
what you didn't realize was that one of those guys was named Matt.
We have a mutual friend who, for some reason, like every time he goes to a city, like he's a closeted gay guy, right? Which sucks. That sucks that you have to be that. But every time you go to a city, he's like, funny story, I was in a bar last night, turns out it was a gay bar, but
he just accidentally finds the gay bar in every town.
It just keeps happening,
like 27 cities in a row.
he's always scared that someone saw him there, so he's like, you're not gonna believe this, in case any of your friends said they saw me or anybody, you know, like I go last night, you know, ends up I'm in a gay bar, I'm there 2 hours, no idea, in a gay bar. So if anybody says I was there, that's why. Like, okay.
The rainbow.
All sky. I did was put into Google Maps cocktails. I don't know what happened.
Just that one space in the search bar.
I think I'm spelling tail wrong. I'm spelling tail wrong. I think that's the problem.
What's up, people? You got to make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs, because right now, new customers can get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. That's pretty awesome. I'd probably bet on Golden State right now because the Lakers looked terrible in their last game, but you never know. I don't know. You can't bet against Curry, or I can't. Listen, they got great promotions every day. It's a safe and secure app, and you get paid instantly. And there's no better place to bet all the playoff action than America's number one sports book. Not number two, not number three, number one. Visit FanDuel.com/Boston and get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's FanDuel.com/Boston. FanDuel is the official sports betting partner of the NBA. Okay. It's 21 and older in select states. First online real money wager only, $10 deposit required. Refund issued as non-withdrawal bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, or Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 55342 in Arizona or 1-888-789-777. Okay. Or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-552-4700. Or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas. 1-877-770-STOP. Gambling Helpline. ma.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, 1-877-8-HOPE New York, or text HOPE New York in New York, 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming, or visit 1-800-gambler.net. Thank you. Check it out. I got to talk to you about HelloFresh. First of all, what is HelloFresh? With HelloFresh, you get fresh farmed, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. You got to skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. And that's why it's America's number one meal kit. Number one, all right? You can make mealtime easy with delicious recipes made with fresh, wholesome ingredients delivered to your door. No lines, no hassle, no gas, all that other stuff that you have to get there. No, just great tasting meals you can whip up and enjoy in the comfort of home. Sounds good to me. HelloFresh has 40 weekly recipes to choose from for all meal occasions, lifestyles, and preferences. Okay, take your pick from meals like soy glazed salmon with rice or mushroom and chive risotto. That sounds delicious. I'm in. Now, me and my wife, we've been doing home-cooked HelloFresh, and it has been delicious, delicious, okay? It saves us time. It saves us money. We're in. So just go to HelloFresh.com/Roasted60. Use the code Roasted60 for 60% off plus free shipping, okay? HelloFresh.com/Roasted60, all right? HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Go check it out. All right, so Gilbert Burns, Bilal Muhammad. Man, this fight, I would have liked to have seen this fight when Gilbert had two arms. You know, the guy halfway through the second round, he's like, they're like, the corner was like, was all being cryptic. Like, oh no, we know what's going to happen. Like, don't talk about that. It was the weirdest thing. And the guy's shoulder blow, luckily for him, it was the left and he's a righty or whatever. It was the opposite of his power hand. But, look, Bilal did everything he had to do. The crowds are idiots for booing him. You try getting out Gilbert Burns. I mean, I think one guy's ever done it, Dan Hooker, in his life. He's a hard guy to put away, even with one arm. Like, the fuck do they want from this guy? Yeah, it just kind of, I hate this. Look, there are fights that you should boo, but that wasn't one of them.
Well, they booed Aljo, too. Even Aljo got up there and apologized. I'm like, why are you apologizing for winning? Fuck these people. They're I'm like, I'm from here, motherfucker. Why are you hearing this motherfucker? It was weird. They kept doing that. It fucking Jersey. Fucking Jersey.
Because they're used to the Jets fucking playing.
Exactly. That's their only sound they're used to making. We're winning. Oh, right. By the way, any other sounds.
On a side note, football, how's that quarter? How's Aaron Rodgers going to be? Is he still good?
I mean, yeah, he's still good. I mean, the fact of the matter is the Jets are still the Jets. I mean, there are some organizations that no matter what you give them, they just find a way to fuck it up. Now, I don't know if that's going to be the case here, but I mean, when you look at the Browns, when you look at the Jets, you know, there are just some, the Texans, there are just certain organizations that find a way to lose. Yeah. And so I think at the end of the day, no matter how good they look on paper, they're still going to be the fucking J-E-T-S Jets.
Yeah. Sean, what were you saying about the fight?
Oh, I was going to say there's a couple things that were really surprising to me about that fight that were awesome. One, I love that Henry Hooft, when he told him his shoulder was shot, Henry Hooft's idea was just use your right hand. Like, that cracked me up. He goes, well, just use your right hand then. And like it was great coaching, but Henry Hook is awesome, man. He said, if you guys know who that is, right? This coach,
striking coach. Yeah.
He said he switches his stance every time before he throws that left kick. And I watched from that point on, every time he threw that kick, he switched his stance right before. It was every time. And I was like, damn, that's pretty impressive that Henry Hoof noticed that, because I didn't notice it at all. But it was like every time he switches his stance, he throws that left kick like immediately. And then I loved when he tried to, like you were saying, he needed to turn heel. And at the end, when he was like, listen, guys, New Jersey's not very good. Like he tried to like, I don't like this place. This place stinks. Like he tried to turn heel, and it did not work at all. Yeah, man.
It's like Dana.
Because of the way, is that Bilal Muhammad?
He tried to
turn heel, but he was too nice. He was like, I don't like New Jersey, by the way, guys.
Exactly. It's the way he speaks is so formal. He's just like, yeah, by the way, guys, don't like it. Not a fan. Like, he's just, it's so weird hearing that voice come out of his head.
He's a nice guy. He's a really nice guy.
He's
this WWE, WME, UFC era is just bad for guys that don't have strong personalities. Unless you're from a country where, like, you're the one guy, from Ireland, or you're the one guy from wherever, it doesn't matter. It's like you have to be a flat earther to get fucking people to notice you or something.
It was funny. Joe Silva told me one time, if I was at least as good a fighter as Chet Congo, I would be the biggest star in the UFC. And I was like flattered and hurt at the same time because Chet Congo wasn't very good.
That's what Joe Silva told me.
You know, what's a shame is if you were as good as Chet Congo, who was a mid-level heavyweight, he goes, if you were at least that good, you would be one of the biggest stars in the entire UFC with your personality. He said, you just got to get better at fighting. And I was like, thanks, Joe, I think. Like, it kind of hurt my feelings at the same time. So
no, if you're like a guy like Sean Brady, or even that other guy that was a great wrestler, with a guy that Kevin Lee knocked out, that was like, but what was his name? You know, I'm talking about the guy that was national champion, the one who beat Vince. I mean, that's my whole point. They don't, unless you sell, now it's about selling tickets. It's always been about selling tickets.
I knew the second that WME got involved, the shit was gonna, it was gonna go to pot. And that's how we wind up with too many fights, too many events, you know, nobody getting a chance to hold on to their title for very long, nobody getting enough time between their defenses, nobody getting a chance to be built up, everyone getting thrown into the fire too soon. You know, it's just, it all because they're just milking the fuck out of it.
But I'll tell you what.
How about more than 60 sponsors on the cage? I counted 60 separate sponsors on the cage the other night. Literally, if you, the outside of the octagon, you had one at each corner, so that's 9. Inside, immediately, you had one at each pole, that's 9. One on each pole, that's 9. You know what I mean? That's 27. One on the outside of that. Like, I counted, I was like, there are over 63, I think, sponsors. It had to be divisible by 9, whatever it was, because of the polls. Yeah.
You can't wear them on your shorts. Sponsors. You can't wear them on your shorts, though.
No, it's too distracting. When it's on the shorts, it's distracting, they said, and it's an eyesore. But the 63 on the cage are no problem. They even had sponsors that were changing on the cage. They had some kind of video thing. So sponsors were changing between rounds in spots on the outside of the cage. I was like, dude, they found a way to even do more, like, sponsors. Yeah. Like, they're going to have it before long. They're going to have guys painted up, like, all over their bodies with, you know, like sponsors, or they're going to digitally do it where they have sponsors on their back or chest while they're fighting. And they don't get a dime of the money.
No, they're essentially going to have to change their nicknames to sponsors.
Right.
You know, exactly. Nate Goodyear Tires Diaz.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, somebody that has not evolved, Chrome Gracie. I don't know if you watched this fight. I don't understand. Like, Chrome Gracie, my opinion, beyond talented jiu-jitsu, loves jiu-jitsu, and feels the need, this burden, to carry on the Gracie tradition to show that jiu-jitsu is not only the most dominant art form, but the only art form you need in this octagon. And I've never seen, it was crazy. It was like a time capsule. It was like putting Hoyce Gracie out there in UFC 1, but putting him out now. His coaches did not tell him, like, hey, man, we got to work on striking. We got the grappling. We can't pull guard every 5 minutes. Butt scooting isn't the way to do it. What's going on? Sean, talk to me.
Jiu-jitsu is the only martial art you need, and it is the most dominant, as long as the other guy doesn't know jiu-jitsu. Like, that's the thing. If he has no idea what jiu-jitsu is, then you can choke him out and submit him easy. But if he knows what it is and has any experience at all in a fight, all you need is a purple belt, and you're good. You're not going to get submitted, you know? But it was embarrassing to me watching. I felt bad for him. I know he's got to live up to his dad's, you know, standard that he set and all that. But that butt scooting thing, man, I thought, man, if I was him, the 3 years I was off, maybe just practice a double leg 1,000 times a day, every day, or a single. All you need is one or two takedowns. Like, the pulling guard is ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't always work. But if they can teach college kids double and single leg, surely you can teach an already amazing grappler how to take someone down. You know what I mean? Like, if that's all you go, he doesn't even need necessarily to be able to box if he could just have a good takedown. You know what I mean? Like, it's just one or two decent takedowns, but you can't have only jiu-jitsu. It doesn't work that way.
I don't think he gives a fuck. I think he's so just not interested. He's like, I don't know what I'm doing here. My last name's Gracie. They're paying me. I just want to do jiu-jitsu. I don't want to learn this other shit. Like, even his picture on the website looks fucking... I'm just here so I don't get fined. Like, it's unreal. He doesn't seem to want to be there at all, and I don't think he should ever come back. I think they should... I know his last name's Gracie, and they put him on the main card because of that, but he absolutely doesn't deserve to be there, and he clearly doesn't want to be there. Yeah. And when you think about how much these other guys want to be there, it's an insult to the sport.
It's crazy.
You know, I asked Eddie Bravo one time. He never liked me because I said... I used to post online that I said, like, a new Eddie Bravo highlight film. I would post Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC dancing because they look just like each other. And so I didn't know him at the time. This was before I was in the UFC, and he got real mad at me. And then I tried to set up a private lesson with him, and my only goal was to film it and submit him because I was, like, 200 pounds heavier than him, so I knew I would beat him, you know, and he wouldn't do it. That's before I was known at all, too, before I was in the UFC. But I asked him one time, you take so much shit for fighting. Why don't you just fight one or two times? Win, and then they don't have to say, oh, well, it wouldn't work in a fight. And he actually answered me, DM me, and said, because I don't want to fight. I don't like getting punched. I just like jiu-jitsu. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing wrong with not wanting to get punched and not wanting to fight. Like, if you just want to learn jiu-jitsu, just because you ski doesn't mean you have to shoot the rifle at the end of that Olympic sport, you know, like, or whatever they have. Where
what
you
is that,
it,
biathlon?
You know? Yeah, you don't have to. Yeah, just because you run, it doesn't mean you have to do the one where you swim, too. You know, like, you can just do the one if that's what you like, you know?
I think that's the problem. Even, like, with Ben Askren, because I was like, hey, Askren, you watching the tank fight? He goes, I don't watch boxing. I think that, like, guys are just really good at one sport, and it translates to MMA, but they don't necessarily like MMA. You know, they're just...
Well, and it's like the reverse of the MMA guys trying to do bare knuckle, and all they're trying to do is turn off their programming, like, okay, this is where I grapple. This is where this is where I get a single leg. This is where I shoot shoot for a double. You know, they have to turn off all that fucking training, and so instead of thinking about throwing their hands, all they're thinking about is what they can't do right now.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Now, reverse.
The Drew Dober Favola fight. Look, I think that fight was stopped early. I think it's hard because you don't want to have different standards for different guys. Like, you don't want to say, okay, I'm going to stop it late for this guy and not for this guy. But there are some guys out there that you literally have to kill, and they're always in a fight. And it does seem like Drew Dober is, like, one of those guys.
That sounds like you just contradicted yourself.
It did.
Like, listen, you don't want to have different rules for different guys, but you should have different rules for some guys.
Here's my question, then. Do you think that it should be always the same, or certain guys are...
consistent. It should just be consistent. And the fact of the matter is he was basically knocked out on his feet, woke up when he hit the ground, and was getting rained down blows on him by Favola. And the ref did the right thing by saving him additional damage. His face showed it. His brain showed it. His eyes showed it. I don't give the fuck who the fuck he is. He was out for a second. No, the ref saved him. That was a fine stoppage.
Sean?
I think from an entertainment standpoint, like, it's funner to, like, guys like Nate Diaz, you know, he's going to take a beating if he's fighting a better guy, but he's always in the fight, you know?
Yeah.
But I do think there needs to be a limit. Like, I mean, if you look at, you guys remember the Pat Barry, Chet Congo fight? This whole thing's going to be about Chet Congo today. No, the Pat Barry, Chet Congo fight, they should have stopped that four separate times, and then Congo comes back and wins. But at the same time, you got to wonder how much How many times is that not going to happen? And a guy's going to take all that extra. If it happens 1 out of 10 times, you got 9 out of 10 where a guy took severe damage. So I think there's a few guys that you, there's a guy named John Ivey that I talked about before. He's had 200 fights. His whole thing was let you beat him up until you get tired, and then he would win fights. So he would just like curl up, and guys would beat the brakes off of him. I hit him. I think our strike count was 276-2 when they finally stopped the fight. But he was less injured than I was. Both my hands were broken at that point. You know what I mean? Or whatever. My elbows were hurting from elbowing him, and I was about gassed out, and he was just getting into the fight at that point, you know? So there are certain guys, but I think Greg's right to a point. You can't let – if you start doing different rules for different guys, every guy's going to jump up and be like, hey, I was still in, you know, or whatever.
And that's what he did. And even when he was standing up protesting, his eyes were fucking – he was like, no.
I don't know. I hear you. But he also came back with the McKinney fight. But I
who cares?
I hear you. I hear you. McKinney now, did. The Parker Posey, that guy versus Braxton Smith. I don't think I've ever seen a guy with worse cardio than Braxton Smith. It was a heavyweight fight. You guys see it?
Yeah.
The guy came out.
But now I want to watch it. If he's got worse cardio than me, I got to see this.
Oh, Sean, the worst I've ever seen. Oh, they kept hyping him. This guy could have been in the NFL. He was in the NFL. He was this close to being in the NFL. The guy threw 4 punches and then just sat down on all fours and laid there. While the other guy punched him in the head.
Yeah. And I was like, oh God, this is the problem with a heavyweight division. Like, you have like 4 good fighters and then this.
He didn't even get hurt. Like, he didn't even get like,
yeah,
popped, it looked like. He was just out of breath on all fours, like breathing while the other guy was punching him.
Just raining down on him.
That was crazy.
I've been on both sides of that. If it was in the first 90 seconds, I was the guy doing the beating. And if it was past the first 90 seconds, I was the one curled up taking the beating. It's always the way my fights went. So depending on how long it was.
Did either of them have a background in gay porn?
Because if not, I know where they can find some coaching.
Exactly.
Gay porn. All right. So Roy Nelson won over the weekend. You guys watch this?
Yeah, I did. That was
Roy Nelson did bare knuckle MMA. Jorge Masvidal started a bare knuckle MMA thing, which I guess is only legal in Florida, obviously.
Sounds right.
So, and here is the we got to show Roy Nelson.
Every fight description starts with Florida man.
Here we go.
1 minute 40 seconds.
Oh, I love it. He's like, give me them beers.
Good for Roy Nelson. Hopefully
he just throws his arm up. It's like Miller time.
Dude, Roy Nelson, he was probably out of all the fighters I ever met was the biggest jerk to me. When I first met him, he was like, right away, he was like, I'm funnier than you. I can do comedy. So then I'm like, oh, really? This is like 15 years ago. We became friendly since. So then I got him a spot at the LA Comedy Club, right? And I'm like, okay, tomorrow night you're on. Really? Yeah. And then he didn't show up. He was like, but I happen to like Roy Nelson. But he bare knuckle MMA. So I guess I thought he was retired. He lost a lot in a row, but I guess he's back. So
I'm actually friends with the guy he fought. That guy, I think, is 11-1 in MMA. He's also does regular bare knuckle. I think he's 40 now. He's a guy who I think he didn't really ever take it serious when he was younger. You know what I mean? Like, he wanted to, and now he's kind of trying to make up for lost time. He's 40 or 41 now, but I mean, he's in phenomenal shape. He's got great genetics. You know what I mean? And it's a tough dude, man. He fought. But he set out. He lost to Alex Nicholson in a fight down there in Florida I was at with a crazy spinning back fist, and then took 3 years off. And I think he's now kind of at the age where it's crazy because he wants to take it serious now, but it stinks because he was far more athletic 10 years ago. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's, I don't know, one of them things. But no, that guy's, he's no slouch, man. The guy Roy beat, I was surprised that Roy beat him. I thought, like I said, he's 11-1 and 2-0 in bare knuckle boxing, or 3-0. And I mean, He can punch for sure. So
when they say power is the last to go. So Sage Northcutt won in 40 seconds in one championship. He actually won by heel hook, which was pretty damn cool. And then Demetrius Johnson won as well. By the way, this guy, John Hotz, who's been giving me all kinds of notes for every week for the show. So shout out to John Hotz. And he says that last episode, I told McCorkle that Bilal Muhammad lost to Leon Edwards. And the fight actually ended in a no contest after some brutal eye pokes from Edwards. Edwards was winning. There's a lot of fight left. So thank you for that correction, John Hotz.
Wait, is that correct, though? Because I'm pretty sure he lost.
So, yeah. So, oh, by the way, Matt.
If it's one thing this podcast is known for, it's statistical accuracy. If you're listening for this show for statistical accuracy, yeah, maybe you're listening for the wrong reasons.
Matt Frivola called out Patty Pimlet. I don't think Patty Pimlet wants to go near Matt Frivola.
I thought that was very interesting, too, that he went after Pimlet. I mean, it makes sense for Frivola. If he wants to make a name for himself, yeah, taking out Pimlet would definitely give him a bit more of a name. I mean, that was a surprising call out, but I really liked it.
You're going to run out of people like for Pimlet to win, though. I think Frivola kills Pimlet. I think Patty Pimlet's good. I don't think it's going to be tough for him. He's very hittable. His defense is pretty bad. His wrestling is all right. Jiu-jitsu is good. But I think there's a lot of people.
He keeps surprising us. Every time we're like, fuck Patty Pimlet.
No, the last fight was a gift. The last fight was a gift. The last fight he lost. He lost that last fight pretty bad.
Have you seen that video of them announcing it in Joe Rogan's face when they announced that Patty won?
Oh, the guy's on his podcast?
Yeah, they got Joe Rogan in the ring or in the cage. And when they announce he won, Joe Rogan turns and looks at like whoever else was announced and like shakes his head and then goes over and has to interview him knowing he lost, you know what I mean? Or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And then Patty goes, I knew I was winning. So I coasted the third. I was like, right.
That was my favorite line since I was only at 37% tonight when, what's his name? Who was that? Said that,
Usman.
Usman, yeah, he was like a real specific percent. I was only at 37% tonight. Like, were you like exactly 37%?
So here's a guy that I was telling you guys.
I say that's the kind of lie I say for the IRS.
Went to G2 school, and then he went to Oregon.
He looks like Crone Gracie's less famous brother.
Tapology's number 5 ranked.
For sure, he does.
In Montana, second fight in 34 days. And Gil, when he's not fighting, this dude.
This is the insurance salesman.
He sells insurance and does financial planning as well.
So he actually does sell insurance. I thought that was just his name.
No, he does. Look.
Great Falls, Montana. Amari, the insurance salesman.
That's amazing.
And then he wins. Watch.
Sinks-a-von. Not bad for an insurance salesman.
Looks like some diesel in those.
Not bad for an insurance salesman.
If he had any other job, if he were a fireman, that would have been a very average performance. But if you're an insurance salesman, that's not bad.
Not bad for an insurance salesman.
That's awesome. That's
if he drove a root truck for Frito-Lay, that would be really impressive. But for an insurance salesman, not bad.
You know what's awesome is he needs to come up with some kind of tagline he can say afterward, like, you should have upgraded your policy and throw the microphone down.
Yeah, exactly.
Something insurance related. Should have paid your premium and drop the mic.
Did you guys see Mark Zuckerberg?
15 minutes could save you 30% or less.
Exactly. That's what you should
think,
do. That'd be amazing.
You think this 15 minutes was tough? 15 minutes could save you 30% or more.
So need that, guys, man. I'll tell you what. We need to form an agency that gives fighters good ideas, like to do, like, you know what I mean? Kind of like Adam's taking over, allegedly took over Henry's social media. We need to have something that gives people good ideas to promote themselves.
Consider that your deductible.
So over the weekend.
He lost his fight. Well, I guess I won't get my deductible.
So over the weekend, Mark Zuckerberg won in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. That's weird. He's competing in the green and yellow belt division, which doesn't exist. That's amazing. Neither of those is a jiu-jitsu belt color.
Yeah.
The other guy has a wife.
Yeah, the other guy is also up for a promotion at Meta. So that reminds me of when Elvis used to do karate, you know, against his own bodyguard that they would have to like punch and then just hold their arm out there so he could grab it and then flip them and then they throw themselves into a roll. It's like, way to go, Elvis, you fucking black belt.
The Memphis Mafia, you didn't mess with them dudes, man.
Yep.
Or the other guy, the guy that ran the wrestling club, and what's it called again? What he the guy who ended up killing, I think Steve Carell played him, remember?
Right, the Olympic guy, DuPont?
Yeah, DuPont. Remember, he kept winning wrestling tournaments, and they would pay off the guy he would beat, and yada, yada. So Nate Diaz and Jake Paul faced off for the first time ahead of their boxing match. Boxing match, August 5th. They faced off. You guys want to watch this face off?
Sure.
Sure.
Right. Sure.
Since there's zero chance the fight's going to happen, I might as well see the face off.
I was going to say, and also, as long as we're done talking about actual fighting, yes, let's move on to fantasy fights.
Here we go. So here we go. There's Nate, Jake Paul. Well, same size about. So
well, he's had enough with real boxers.
One real boxer.
He fought one real boxer, lost, and was like, I'm going back to MMA guys that just need $1 million.
Oh my god. I can't believe this is gonna happen. Well, we'll see if it happens.
What is it scheduled for? Again,
the Zone pay-per-view August 5th.
August 5th. Well, mark your calendars, everyone.
I don't know what the odds are. Is there odds running on that fight actually happening? Because I'll put money on it if it doesn't. I bet it'll be August 5th anyway.
He should start the MBFL, the Make Believe Fight League.
Did you guys see the Phoenix Suns owner getting a fight with one of the players for a minute the other night?
Yeah. With Djokovic.
Yeah, he got in the crowd and they thought Djokovic was gonna kiss his ass after because he's one of the NBA team owners. He said, I don't care. He's there as a fan. He didn't give me the ball. Like he wanted the ball, went to grab it from him. They got into it and then he was holding
the ball, like, I got the ball. Like he's like, give me the fucking ball.
Right. And the best is the owner looks like he's about 28 years old. And I was like, man, how does a dude like that own an NBA team? And then come to find out he's a trust fund baby. And then they're like, oh, he played at Michigan State. And I'm like, that 5'5 dude played at Michigan State on scholarship? And then you look it up, and his dad gave who knows how many millions of dollars to Michigan State for them to give him a basketball scholarship. He played a total of 30 minutes while he was there over five seasons, but had a scholarship. He played under scholarship for him. And then that reminded me of Lorenzo Fertitta's son, who had zero Division I offers except for Notre Dame, offered him a full ride football scholarship. And on a plane, I randomly met a lady who does their donations at Notre Dame. And I was talking to her and she said, yeah, we just got a huge donation, like $5 million from Lorenzo Fertitta. I guess his son wanted to be a Notre Dame football player. So he just gave him gave him millions of dollars for them to give him a scholarship. So
that son's owner is named Matt. And if you want to see this confrontation, go to Matt Battles.
Right, exactly.
.org. And you'll see it there, Matt.
I hate so much that Greg came up with that, and it didn't even cross my mind. And I should have had that. I should have had that locked and loaded from the beginning. I blew it.
Absolutely. So, real quick, this week you got.
I love that. I love that we're just in a foot race to shitty jokes. Wonder why we get the statistics wrong, guy.
Shout out to John Hotz because he saves our ass every week. All right, so this week we got Musasi and Fabian Edwards in Bellator. It's another secret fight that will not be promoted.
Another mystery fight at Bellator.
Bellator's whole thing is you hope that you don't think there's a fight on and you're flipping the channels and then you're happy if there's a fight on. That's like their whole marketing strategy.
It's like your stand-up surprise comedy except it surprise MMA. Like, oh, look, Bellator. Yeah. See that coming.
Bellator MMA, catch us if you can.
Ambush MMA.
Well, I heard like the PFL is buying Bellator, which would be even like a worse promoted event. So it's like,
I want to know who's funding PFL. Like, who is throwing away hundreds of millions of dollars? That's what I can't
listen. But you know what? It's working. Look, now they're big enough to buy Bellator. That just shows you that their strategy is working. They're putting on better fights. They're getting better views. We talk about them more. I like them better than Bellator. They've done everything better by being their own thing. Listen, Bellator is spending tons of money too. Yeah, they just didn't consolidate it into a championship payout.
But I don't think the PFL is getting better views. I don't think they're getting any views, most views at all.
Somebody in the know, and I don't want to out them. Usually I would. I don't want to out them. But someone who would know told me years ago that the UFC secretly owned PFL through like a shell company, through a third.
I thought they did. I thought person. They were
yeah,
sure
that
did.
They. They said that they owned them. This is somebody that would know, said that they owned them, and they did that to run up all the fighters so Bellator couldn't have them, for have someone else to compete against them so that they would, you know, they could, like, the UFC doesn't want them, but have PFL bid to make Bellator have to pay more, and that was their whole gimmick, and then it turned into an actual, you know, fight league that was somewhat successful, and they sold it. But I guess for a while they did own it. I guess under the table they owned the PFL.
Well, no, I think that was WSOF. No, that was PFL or WSOF.
Yeah, I was back when it was World Series of Fighting, the same people. So
I mean, here's your answer. I think so. In 2021, PFL, A-Rod bought into it. $30 million, an influx of $30 million. Series E equity capital came in from Wiz Khalifa, Ray Lewis owns part of it. I think they're just getting all these celebrities, Kevin Hart, Tony Robbins, Mark Burnett. They put in $28 million to do it. So Marshawn Lynch.
They sold 25% of the business to 17 different people is what happened. That's exactly what happened.
That's what it sounds like.
So these people own,
like they did their math wrong. Like, you can have 25% too. He's got 25%. Those six guys each have 25%.
Like, it's like the producers.
This week
in Bellator, Musasi is fighting Fabian Edwards, who's Leon Edwards' brother, who's 11-2. He's fighting Musasi in France. Douglas Lima is also on the card. Brent Primus, but yeah, it's a secret card. And then
that's
on
Bellator?
Saturday, Bellator on Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning. I think it starts at 9. This week on ABC, it's the UFC on ABC. It's Rozenstruik versus Jalton Almeida. That's the main event. Rozenstruik's that guy that hits like a fucking house. And then Johnny Walker is taking on Anthony Smith. Johnny Walker's the guy that has the condom sponsorship. He's the one that was breakdancing after his fight and then tore out his shoulder.
Dislocated his shoulder. Yeah.
And Anthony Smith's most famous fight was in his own living room.
You know what's crazy, man, is when we were kids, we guys are all about the same age. You woke up Saturday morning and watched cartoons, and now kids wake up and Saturday morning, the UFC is on ABC. That's kind of like a sign of things to come, but it can't be good. So.
D-Rod. I don't think it's a sign of things to come. I think it's a sign of things that are here right fucking now. This is where we are, guys. This is where we are. And I've said it from the beginning. The second the WME bought into UFC, I was like, it's going to be turned to shit now. You know, it's going to be a bunch of watered down garbage. I mean,
I like this card because D-Rod.
I was going to say this card actually isn't that bad. I'll honestly, man, exactly. Daniel Rodriguez versus Ian Garry is that's going to be a fucking banger. That's going to be a heck of a fight, actually.
Garry's 11-0. D-Rod said he was 401 in prison fights.
Yeah.
I heard they're very strict when they're recording those two. Like, there's no, there's absolutely no shenanigans going on there.
Speaking of which, Mayhem is out of prison.
What was his record while he was in there? Did he get – I heard he only went on a 4-fight win streak while he was in there. We'll have to check the official record.
He says he's in shape and he wants to fight in Fight Circus, which I think would be a good place for him.
that should be the name of his book.
Tim Means is fighting Alex Morano. That should be a good fight.
That's a good fight. Yeah, no, this is I mean, as much as I'm deriding all of this, this is actually, I mean, they got Matt Brown versus Court McGee. I mean, I'd like seeing Matt Brown fight. I mean, I don't know Court McGee that well, but
Court McGee won the Ultimate Fighter. They used to call him the Conor McGregor of Utah. They both overdosed on heroin and came back to life. Both of these guys.
Matt Brown looks like he didn't come all the way back. I'll be honest.
Matt Brown, Utah, all those years, Utah was missing a Conor McGregor, and finally they found a Conor McGregor in Utah. It's like, you know, Utah really needs a Conor McGregor. Oh God!
Cody Stamen's on the card. He's the little fucking jack dude. And then what's his name? Brian Battle. He's the guy who won the Ultimate Fighter. He's fighting Gabe Green.
Natan Levy. He's versus Pete Rodriguez. I mean, Rodriguez is probably going to get blown out, but still, that's a fight we're seeing.
Yeah, Natan Levy's from Israel.
Is he the Conor McGregor of Israel, or is he?
He is.
They used to call him. They used to call him GSP. And then Jesse Jess is on the card.
Jess,
we love Jesse Jess over here. So yeah, this is a good card. It starts at 8:30.
I have to admit it. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I really am not happy about the way normally these cards are just, you know, like who. This is actually, I got to tell you, it's not a bad card. This is a pretty good one.
Oh, Tim Means said, by the way, when he went to prison and he, if people wanted to masturbate, they put like a towel underneath the door. And that let people know, don't come in their room because they're masturbating.
I'm pretty sure
as you're looking under guys' doors, you spying on them, it blocks you from seeing them.
What did he say, prison or a dorm? Because last time I janked, I mean, how is that going to stop people from just looking through the bars? Like, I don't know.
And then, by the way, on cruise ships, if you put a pineapple underneath, upside a pineapple on your door, it means you're swingers. Just so if anyone knows, if anyone ever goes on a crew and there's an upside down pineapple on your like,
that means come on in.
Wait, it has to be upside down too. It can't even be right side up. They had to make it even more complicated.
And all this time I've been putting grapes on the door. Jesus. No wonder nobody took me up on it.
Greg, what do you got coming up?
This week is going to be a lot of fun. Thursday, what am I doing? I have a show on Thursday that I don't quite remember. But Friday, 10 o'clock. Saturday, 7 o'clock at the Hollywood Improv. Then 10 o'clock at the Ha-Ha. So you can catch me at the Ha-Ha either on Friday or Saturday. Or the Improv, 7 o'clock. Those shows always sold out. So if you want to be sure and get tickets now, if you want to come to that 7 o'clock show at the Improv in the main room. So that'll be fun.
And Sean, what do you got?
We're going on a cruise this weekend, so I guess I'm going pineapple shopping this week, come to find out. No, I'm not doing either of those. I am doing the same as always, nothing. So,
got it. You're doing amazing. I love you.
Thanks.
Tonight, by the way, so tonight I am on a show with Bill Burr and Brittany Furlan. You know her? She's married to Tommy Lee.
Yeah, I've done two shows with her now.
How?
You know, listen. Married to Tommy Lee.
Wasn't she the one that was on? Wasn't she kind of famous on Vine or something for a while?
Like, yeah, she was a big star on Vine. Most of it because she has an incredible body. I'll just say that. And so there's one feature of her body that is more incredible than the rest, and it rests between her back and her thighs. But the but it's really just not. She's her stand up. Well, listen, she's married to Tommy Lee.
That's right. Got it. So I'm
very. You know what though? Sweetheart of a gal. Very sweet gal.
Yeah. Okay.
Did I tell you guys about when I saw Tommy Lee at a UFC event in LA, and I went up in the VIP area, and I told him that I really thought he was great in the movie The Fugitive, and he did not get it at all. He's like, oh, cool, bro. I get like he had no idea. I said, dude, I loved your work in The Fugitive. He's like, cool, sweet, bro. Like that or whatever, and didn't get it, but I loved it. I did put on Twitter, too, when Gilbert Burns was fighting, I said, I haven't seen anybody do this poorly against a man with one arm since Dr. Richard Kimball, and no one got it. That was another Fugitive joke, by the way.
Welcome to my life, man. This Saturday.
I was going to say, wow, you know what? I can't believe he didn't give you more attention. I really can't. That's such a... You were just another dude talking words, dude. He was just waiting for you to move on.
Well, I told you,
you Al, cool. Yep. Everybody says that. Yeah. I was great in that. Yep. Bye.
I told you when I was at the Alice Cooper concert and I was sitting next to the guy from Def Leppard that had one arm and the guy was doing a drum solo. And I looked at him. I go, who's better, you or him? He goes, he is. He's got two fucking arms.
Yeah. Dude,
that doesn't really seem fair.
So Tommy came to one of the shows that I did with Brittany.
Yeah.
And I'm not one of those guys that bothers them for pictures. I just can't do it. But one of our other friends was like, let me get a picture with you. And the look on Tommy Lee's face in that picture, I'm just like, all right, take the fucking picture, dude.
Yeah.
It's not fair that Tommy's a great drummer because he's got three arms. So
this week I will be in the House of Comedy in Arizona, in Phoenix, Arizona, this Thursday to Sunday. Thank you guys so much. Love you guys.
Oh, Yashiro. That's where I'm at on Thursday or Wednesday. One of those.
Yamashiro,
the Jay Davis show.
Yes.
I think on Thursday.
In Hollywood. Got it. Thank you guys.
All right.
Yeah, man.